Friends, and that's what we share, and that's what we teach our men and women of the program, amen? That their God is faithful, their God is available, their God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even think or imagine. Our God is able. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the program. Thank you for that wonderful drama, and such a powerful drama that always reminds us of how powerful God is. Amen. Well, once again, I just want to invite you on your way out to our table for information about Teen Challenge and any other information that you need as well. I have a thought for you this morning that the Lord laid on my heart that I would love to share with you. If you have your Bible, if you will, just grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Friends, Teen Challenge is here for the brokenhearted. It's here to give direction. We are here, Teen Challenge, are committed to the people, we're committed to the process, and we're committed to the purpose. And it's a 12 to 14 months program. Like they said, you know, some people go in thinking it's a 28-day program, and they come, they're surprised it's not 28. 28 days is just the beginning, amen? It takes 12 to 14 months of discipling so that you can be successful in the kingdom of God and everything else that God has placed in your life. Amen. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. This morning, I just want to share a quick thought with you that the Lord laid on my heart. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible states, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Master, Jesus, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Let us pray right now. Father, for the next few moments, I ask you in Jesus' name that you would have your way. God, I pray that your anointing will continue to flow through this great service and this great congregation. Lord, we pray right now that your Holy Spirit will grip the hearts of your people. Lord, bring revelation, Lord Jesus. Shake foundations. Lord, we thank you for this time. Now I pray that I will step out of the way, and the Holy Spirit, you have your way. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You know, during these times and when the men and women come into our program, you know, they come with questions. And one of the main questions, and I've been involved in Teen Challenge for over 15 years. And one of the questions is what I want to talk to you about this morning, this thought that the Lord laid on my heart. This is the thought: when Jesus doesn't make sense. When Jesus doesn't make sense. And in Luke 17, we find a story of lepers that go out and get healed. But friends, we become so gripped in what we see and sometimes what we feel and what we hear, and that we operate in our natural senses rather than our spiritual ones. And our faith is what activates the power of God. Our faith in God is what activates it. You know, before a stone becomes a diamond, it's just carbon put under millions of pounds of pressure. And friends, I want you to understand this morning that trouble not only places a demand on our faith, but reveals the depth of it. We really don't know much about our faith when our lives are all peaches and cream, when relationships are right, our body's healthy, and everything is going well. But when everything around us is falling apart, and just then you trust God to bring you through it, that's when we know where our faith is at. But often the enemy has not ceased to attack. Can I get a witness? Amen. He attacks our mind. We tell the men in the program, he attacks our rest, our peace, our emotions, our thought life. So what can we do? Put our faith to work this morning. Say this morning that enough is enough. And begin to take back what the enemy has stolen from you. When you put your faith into action, God will go to work on your behalf, friends. But friends, you have to rise up this morning and say, if I'm going to die, I am going to do it reaching for something. I am going to do it building something or going after something. Can somebody just say amen this morning? Declare, I'm taking back what the enemy has stolen from me. I'm taking back the lost years of my marriage. I'm taking back what the locust has eaten. I'm taking back the lost profit of my business. I'm taking back the lost members of my family. God gave it to me. I'm taking it back. I'm declaring it to it this morning. The devil tried to take it from me. Friends, we have to declare, I'm a child of God. I'm taking it back in Jesus' name. Can somebody say, I'm taking it back? That's what we tell our men and women. You got to take back what the devil tried to steal from you. When it feels like you're down for the count, you need to rise up and say, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalms 18, 17 states that. That's the kind of faith that gets God's attention every time. When you get desperate enough, you won't care who God uses. You'll be willing to receive any help he sends your way. Faith says, I don't care where I have to go, what I have to do, who I have to listen to. Whatever God says, I'm going to do it. That brings me to the story this morning in our text found in Luke chapter 17 in verse 12. This morning, I'm just going to give you a few experiences that the lepers went through. There are many things that we can learn from the lepers, but I want to just share a few experiences this morning. Are you with me this morning? If you are a note taker like I am, you can write this down. The first experience that we learn is this, that as you go, your miracle will meet you. As you go, your miracle will meet you. Luke 17 in our text in verse 12, it states, as he passed through Samaria, there met him 10 lepers who lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when they saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. As you go, your miracle will meet you. There are a couple of things that is interesting in this portion of scripture. Notice that the healing did not take place, not at Jesus' word, nor at his touch, nor at his close proximity. But as the lepers obeyed Jesus' instructions, the Bible says, as they went, it was the lepers' obedience which brought about the healing that God had for them. As they went. And friends, something happens when you take that extra step of faith. Something happens when you say, I am going to do what God has called me to do. Something happens when you take that extra step to believe. As you go, your miracle is going to meet you this morning. As you take that step of faith, as you believe God for the miracle, it is on its way, friends. Friends, God is going to challenge us to take a step into another realm this morning, and that's a step of faith in whatever you may be believing for right now. I know that you're not here by accident. It's by divine appointment, and this word is for you, that as you go, as you continue to believe, you might be praying for things for years, but God is saying, don't stop now. As you go, your miracle is going to meet you. And so many times, people think that they have to go to these huge, miraculous, emotional experiences for them to receive their healing. They think that they need Jesus to physically touch them, or they need to feel him close to them in order for him to free them. But scripture states otherwise. The Jesus that healed them, Jesus healed them at a distance as they went. There are many times that all throughout scripture, the word of God tells us that as we go, God will meet us. You see, God met Abraham as he was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. There was a ram caught in the thicket as he went. As he was going up the mountain, on the other side of the mountain, he didn't see the other side of the mountain, but there was a ram coming up the other side of the mountain. And let me tell you something, that the ram got caught in the thicket. That tells you and I that God will hold your promise there until you get there. But you got to keep moving. As you go, your miracle will meet you. God met Esther as she was going to meet the king. God met Nehemiah as he was going to be rebuilding the temple. God met Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was the fourth man in the fire. And friends, we don't need to have a hand to come through the ceiling and to let us know that God is with us. No, no, no. All we need is to believe the word of God this morning and step out in faith and come to the church expecting God to do something and understand that as you go, friends, as you go, your miracle will meet you. Hallelujah. Oh, friends. I get excited, amen, when I think about what the Lord has done in my life. I get excited. Is anybody ready for a miracle this morning? Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to Point Lookout, where miracles are given. Hallelujah. Friends, we need to understand that as we obey God and follow his instructions, that our miracle will meet us. And friends, if we want an answer from God this morning, We have to put our faith to work and step out in faith and believe him this morning for that miracle. That brings me to the second experience. Somebody say, second experience. That brings me to the second experience that we learn here from the lepers is this. The first one is what? As you go, your miracle meets you. Second experience is this. Sometimes you have to break out to get a breakthrough. Sometimes you have to break out to get a breakthrough. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. In Jesus' days, lepers were social outcasts. This chronic and infectious disease caused severe disfigurement, especially of the feet, hand, and face. That is why they lived together in colonies. I want you to get this. Don't miss this, friends. I want you to get this. We see the problem is that you can't get well hanging around people who are as messed up as we are. You can't get well hanging around people that are as messed up as we are. And the problem is you got to break out to get your breakthrough. That's what we tell our men and women of Teen Challenge. You got to break out from that environment to get your breakthrough. For God to do something miraculous. You see, people wonder why they haven't gotten their breakthrough. When the people that have been hanging around them do not challenge their faith, do not challenge their lifestyle, do not challenge their action, do not challenge their God-given call in their lives. In fact, oftentimes we seek out counsel from people who are not even qualified to give us instructions. We listen to people that have no credibility and take their word as truth. And then we wonder why we haven't received a miracle from God. And friends, we can't get well hanging around people who are as messed up as we are. We need to seek wisdom that is higher. We need to look to him whose ways are higher. We need to step out from where we are. And when we do, we will receive our healing and miracle from God. Hallelujah. Friends, all we need to do is call out to the Most High and watch him meet our needs. And that's why church is all about, is to come and to worship the King of Kings. And you're going to see him step into your life and do a miraculous. I see miracles every day when I go to work. These men and women that I see every day coming to my office, I see God stripping them from their addiction and coming and being set free, and they lived outside in cars and everything. God said, no, no, I have a plan and a purpose for that young man, and I will see it through. That's what Teen Challenge is all about, amen? They have to break out to break through. And God does that wonderful work. Sometimes when we are in bad situations, we have to break out in order to get our breakthrough. There are times when we need to break out of people group we have been associating with. That's what I had to do in my own personal life. As I mentioned to you, I've been around the ministry of Teen Challenge. I've been serving under Pastor Jimmy Jack for over 15 years. And the reason why you see me so passionate and so hungry about this and so real is because I'm not only the executive director, but I also been a student one time in my life. I know what they've been through. I know what God can do with a person that surrendered. As my brother Pete said, you know, I lived in a life that my father owned a liquor store. And he was a drunk. He was an alcoholic. He would come home and beat my mother every day. That's how I was raised, friends, in a violent home. I'm the oldest of five brothers, the oldest. And so what I did is I couldn't find any rest or peace at home, so I looked to the streets to find it. And when I looked for the streets to find it, I found it in gangs and drug dealing. And as I began to deal drugs and involved in gangs, I brought my brothers in this because I was the most influential in my brother's life. And so three of my brothers became partners with me. And the more we drove and the more we sold, the more ambition we wanted to hit the big time. But with that comes a lifestyle of violence. And one day, coming from a club at 1 o'clock in the morning, three houses from my house, I was gunned down with a 9mm. I got bullet holes all over my body. And I was left for dead. They took all my money, all my drugs, all my jewelry, everything. My neighbor happened to pull up, and the rival drug dealers thought it was somebody else to protect me, and it wasn't. Unknowingly, he saved my life. So he saw me in a puddle of blood, rang the doorbell, and my mom came down in her little nightgown, the little nightgown that she had, and she said, they'll say, hey, go get your son. He's dying. Three houses from right in the street, he's dying. And all I can hear is my mother saying, it can't end this way. I'm in and out of consciousness, and I hear my mother, it just can't end this way. And then apparently the paramedics came, and I was rescued from the streets that day. But that's when I was introduced to Teen Challenge. That's when I was introduced to Teen Challenge. And I went to Brooklyn Teen Challenge where my mom said, hey, there's a place that can save your life and you need to get away. And I went to Brooklyn Teen Challenge where I began to share and to begin to read the word. I began to believe God for what he was saying and promises. I've never met Jesus. Yeah, I've never met him. I was out in the street. I was doing my own thing. Then Teen Challenge in Brooklyn showed me how to live a Christian life. And so I began to live that Christian life. And 11 months, I got accepted to Bible college because I felt a call on my life. I got accepted to Zion Bible Institute there in Rhode Island, on fire for God, 11 months in the program. And then the FBI came to pick me up for an attempted murder charge. My life and my heart, everything that I worked for seemed so out of place. They took me out of Teen Challenge, and I was facing 40 years in prison. How many people know that God can forgive you for your sins, but there's still consequences you got to pay for? That's what happened in my life. I knew I was involved in that. That's the lifestyle that I lived. And so I went in there, and they offered me 40 years in prison. And then some miraculous deal, they ended up giving me 2 years in prison. And I did 2 years in prison right out of Teen Challenge. After the 2 years in prison, I knew that God had to finish what he started in my life. That's when I called Brooklyn back up. They were completely filled. And I called Long Island, and Pastor Jimmy Jack picks up the phone. And that's how I got connected to Pastor Jimmy Jack. He brought me in. He told me, I have a bed for you. How many? Oh, let me tell you, that's like, you know, I hit the lotto. Amen. I got a bed for you. I got a bed for you. And they said, I got a bed for you, but you have to start the program all over again. And I said, okay, whatever I need to do. I know God has called me. I started the program all over again, completed this time at the 11 month. I was going like this to make sure there was nothing else. All right. And then completed the program, stayed 2 years on staff, and then went to Bible college to finish what God started in my life. But this time I went to Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, 4 years of Bible college, got a bachelor's degree. Meanwhile, in between them, I met a beautiful woman that came from Bible college to do her internship at Teen Challenge, never done drugs, never came from that background, but felt a call there. And she had just got her bachelor's, and so I went there, boom, we ended up, God did something beautiful, amen. And now I am married with two children, amen. My wife is the women's director of the women's program, amen. Got her master's in counseling, her PhD in professional counseling. I'm still trying to catch up with her. I can't catch up with her, amen. And now I am married to a doctor. Praise the Lord, amen. Who would know? A man with bullet holes in him. He's married to a doctor. God has a sense of humor, let me tell you. Wow, but the reality is this, that God can take somebody that had no direction and change his life or her life all the way around. That's why I'm so passionate about Teen Challenge. I've been there, I've done that, I did the drama, I sang the songs, I wore the t-shirts, amen? And now I am a beggar that found the bread, and I'm pointing everybody to the bread. Amen? I'm a person that the devil should have killed me a long time ago, because now it's too late. Now I'm a mouthpiece for God, and I am not going to stay quiet. Amen? I had the same enthusiasm when I was out there selling drugs. I got the same enthusiasm for Jesus Christ. Can somebody shout amen this morning? Come on. I had to break out to get a breakthrough. And you have to notice that these leopards did the same thing. They broke out from the pack and they called on Jesus. They stood afar off and they went to another level, and they said that they lifted up their voices. They said, we can't miss this moment. They broke out. Then they got their breakthrough. Notice that the word says that he just passed through. Jesus just passed through. Jesus didn't go into the leper colony. He was just passing through. And some of us need to pass through. When we pass through the valley we find ourselves in, we don't need to pitch a tent there. You don't have to stay there. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm just passing through right now. Hurricane Sandy has nothing. We're just passing through right now. What do you do when you're losing your life, your relationship, and your joy, and your finances, and Jesus doesn't seem to be looking in your direction? You can get frustrated when it feels like he's blessing everybody but you, and wonder, Lord, when is it my turn? When is my turn coming? I've served you faithfully, yet it seems like everybody else is the object of your attention. Jesus, you don't make sense at this moment in time in my life. Friends, this morning, I'm telling you, it's time to cry out to Jesus, as Pastor said this morning. Cry out to Jesus, have mercy on me. Remember, they had a condition. They cried out, and then came the cure. That's what we offer at Teen Challenge. We tell the men and women, give God our condition. Cry out to him, and he'll come with the cure. Away with dignity and decorum. Desperate people pray desperate prayers, and God responds to those desperate prayers. The final experience that we learned from the leopards is this. As I get ready to turn it over to Pastor, this is the final experience. Remember, the first one is what? As you go, your miracle will meet you. Second one is this. You have to break out to get your breakthrough. The third is this. Write this down. The third experience that we learn from the lepers is this, that before God will do the miraculous, sometimes he'll ask you to do the ridiculous. Before God does the miraculous, sometimes he asks you to do the ridiculous. Read with me in our text, verse 14. It says, as you go, go and show yourself to the priests. The lepers may be thinking, what do you mean? I'm not even healed yet. My fingers are still missing. My skin is whacked out. And I look like Elephant Man. And you want me to go where? Before God will do the miraculous, sometimes he'll ask you to do the ridiculous. Notice again that Jesus didn't lay hands on the lepers or even prayed for them. He didn't even address their leprosy, their condition. Instead, he commanded them to go and show themselves to the priests. You know, the priests represented at that time the sect of people that can pronounce you ceremonial clean. But they were not even cleansed yet. How can you tell me to go to the priest when I'm not even cleansed yet? And to some of them, it might have seemed ridiculous. Jesus must be out of his mind. I don't know what he's saying right now. Can you hear him? Is he saying that to us? Go see the priest? But before God will do the miraculous, friends, I'm here to tell you that sometimes he'll ask you to do the ridiculous. And friends, when he tells you to do something, it may not seem like it's even related to what you're praying about. When that happens, you have a decision to make, to doubt him or obey him. Instead of discussing the issue endlessly with God, and I've heard it said this way, if you argue with God and win, you lose. But if you argue with God and lose, you win. Amen. Let that seep in right now. Just do what he tells you to do. Sometimes God will give you a word, and it looks like it's not working, but it is working, friends. It is working. It's in a process. Even when it doesn't look like it, it is working. The faith that God responds to does not require explanation. When God tells you something, you just step out in faith. When God tells me, go rescue that person from the street, I just step out in faith. It doesn't matter if I have a bed or not. I have a couch. Amen? I put them right in the couch. Step out in faith this morning. Sometimes, friends, to receive the miraculous, God will ask you to do the ridiculous. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Imagine this. As they were walking, their toes are growing back. Yes. The skin is turning back to normal, healthy color. The pain is leaving. As they kept moving in obedience to his word, stubs turned into fingers. Don't stop now, friends. Keep walking. Tell your neighbor, keep walking. Don't stop. God has a miracle for you this morning, and he's telling you, keep walking. Keep walking. Don't stop now. You're about to hit the touchdown. Can I get a witness? Amen? God is about to do something in your life. He's just asking you this morning, keep walking. Do not get discouraged. Don't stop now. Keep walking. Stay obedient to his word. Don't just stop with a stub being restored. Get your whole blessing, friends. Rise up this morning and declare, I believe, I believe, I believe in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just remember this, friends, that before God does it miraculously, he might be asking some of you this morning to do something ridiculous. As you go out, your miracle will meet you. And sometimes you have to break out to break through. Stand with me this morning, amen? As I get ready to turn it over to Pastor, why did not...